Lines on the Water. Chapter 1. As a boy, I dreamed of fishing before I went, and went fishing before I caught anything, and knew fishermen before I became one. As a child, I dreamed of finding remarkable fish so close to me that they would be easy to catch. And no one in my dreams had ever found these fish before me. I remember the water as dark and clear at the same time. And by clear, I suppose I mean clean. Sometimes it looked like gold or copper, and at dusk, the eddies splashed silver-toned and babbled like all the musical instruments of the world. I still think of it this way now, years later. As a child, I had the idea that trout were golden or green in deep pools hidden away under the moss of a river bank, and that someday I would walk in the right direction, take all the right paths to the river, and find them there. In fact, trout, I learned, were far more textured and a better color than just golds and greens. They were the color of nature itself, as naturally outfitted in their coat of thin slime as God could manage. They were hidden around bends and in the deep-shaded pools of my youth. I had the impression from those Mother Goose stories that all fish could talk. I still do. My first fishing foray was along the bank of a small brook to the northwest of Newcastle on the Miramichi, a sparkling old brook that Lord Beaverbrook took his name from. My older brother and a friend took me along with them on a cool, blowy day. We had small cane rods and old manual reels with hooks and sinkers and worms, the kind all kids used, the kind my wife used as a child on the Barty Bog River, 13 miles downriver from my town of Newcastle, and her brothers used also at the same time that I was trudging with my brother. It was a Saturday in May of 1955, and I was not yet 5 years of age. Fishing even then could take me out of myself, far away from the worry of my life, such as it was, and into another life, better and more complete. We had packed a lunch and had got to the brook about 10 in the morning. Just as we entered the woods, I saw the brook, which seemed to be no deeper in places than my shoe. In we went, a certain distance, until the sounds of the town below us were left behind. Leaning across the brook was a maple, with its branches dipping into the water. At the upper end of the tree, the current swept about a boulder and gently tailed away into a deep pocket about a foot from the branches. The place was shaded, and sunlight filtered through the trees on the water beyond us. The boys were in a hurry, and moved on to that place where all the fish really are.